Good morning. It's Brenda Eshin Shoshana. I'm back with another episode of Zen Wisdom for Your Everyday Life. And today, we're going to deal with with the same topic, same thing again and again, but in a slightly different perspective. The title for this week's episode, and maybe more, is Finding God at the Kitchen Table. Finding God at the kitchen table. Here I am. You know, so many, many people today are saying, well, look what's going on in the world. Look at this conflagration of fighting, hate, blah, 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 all these things. Where's God in all this? Where is he? And that question, that cry, where is God in all of this? It's been an eternal, perpetual cry. It's one of the deepest koans we can ever imagine. Where's God when I'm suffering? How could a God, a good God, allow this kind of pain? Many feel deserted by God or afraid of God or disappointed, deeply disappointed and confused. Where is God? When they say, where is God? They're saying, where is that which upholds the world and upholds my life and your life? And where's the source? Where's spirit? Whatever word you want to use, where is God when I need him? Fantastic question, fantastic koan, so important, so crucial to our very life. And I would really want to explore it very much in depth, not only from the Zen point of view, but from the perspective of the different scriptures, which will show us that when we pursue this and look at it, the answer is so simple. Same answer, same truth, one truth. Where is God? We could start by saying, well, where isn't he? we have to go back a step. We have to go back a step because what we're really saying here is finding God at the kitchen table, meaning finding God right in the midst of our very ordinary, so-called, normal, so-called, daily life. We're in the kitchen all the time. We want to have a cup of coffee. We go for breakfast. We go for lunch. We join together with family in the kitchen. In fact, in many homes and apartments, the kitchen is the main room. Everyone loves to be in the kitchen. Delicious food cooking, nourishing, nourishment coming. Snacks, treats, salad, whatever it is that we are wanting, and we love to be in the kitchen with people, with our family, with our friends, sharing a cup of tea, a cup of soup, a bowl of soup, whatever. Even when we go out with friends, so many times we'll go to a restaurant. We want to eat together, to share nourishment together, to nourish one another, to feed each other and be fed. That is the function of God, of course. Nourishing, feeding, providing the food, providing the friends. And what happens when the food seems to be getting scarce? Well, we blame God, of course. Where is God? I need him. He's not here. No. It's not that God is not here. It's that we are not here. We're not available. We're not present. Because the other part of that is here I am. When we are here, so is our experience of goodness, of God, of abundance, of fullness, of friendship. When we are here. And in keeping with this, so much of our life, we're looking for God, looking for enlightenment, looking for goodness, looking for our soulmate, however you want to put it, looking for deep happiness and fulfillment, which is our birthright and which is who we are, which we're carrying with us every single day. That's what Zen keeps coming to tell us. We're carrying it with us every single day. And the great teacher, the Rebbe, said, Heaven is not some place you go. It is something you carry with you, you take with you. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful teachings. All the same teachings from all the different scriptures fundamentally, which is why it's always been so tremendously painful for me to see conflicts and rejection and war and fighting in the name of spirituality. Oh, I'm this religion, you're that religion, so let's fight. That's not here I am. That's not what is a basic fundamental teaching. It's a mistake. It's a mistake to in the name of goodness, in the name of God, to hate and reject somebody else. It's not the teaching. It's just not the teaching as I see it. And so I feel compelled now to speak out about this. And I did spend many, many years in interfaith work. And it's very important. It's just a way of saying, let's all come to the kitchen table. So let's go a little deeper for the moment. And we'll go into this in great, much, much greater depth in future podcasts. But why do I say finding God at the kitchen table? Because I was saying before, we're always seeking. We're seeking a transcendent God that goes beyond all of samsara, which we call samsara, which is everyday life, constant chaos, confusion. We want to transcend that. Or we're seeking a God that will do something for me. We have this image that that's what I'm seeking. Some kind of a provider that will never go away. They'll always give me what I need and want. Or we're seeking God as something to make us secure, to always feel safe and secure. We have many, many different images of what God is to us. Very interesting point. What is it? What is God? And very often these are just thoughts in our mind, and we become very disappointed when they don't materialize. Like we could have a relationship with someone and we create some fantasy about that person or some ideal about that person. And if it doesn't materialize, we're so sad. We're so upset with them, with ourselves, with everyone. And many people say, well, this relationship betrayed me. No, it didn't betray you. You created a fantasy, an ideal about that person. And of course, a fantasy is just a fantasy. It'll be there for a while and give you pleasure, and then it disappears because it's a fantasy. It's not real. It's a wish. It's an imagination. Now, am I saying God is a fantasy? Absolutely not. No. Am I saying God is real? The source is real? Absolutely real. The source that we are all a part of. Yes, yes, yes. Of course. But nevertheless, I'm saying that many of us have not come into direct connection, relationship with the true source of our being. Instead, we maintain maybe a dream about it, a wish, a fantasy. And then we feel that we're alone. There is no God. Well, there is a source always of love, of hope, of nourishment, of happiness in the midst of all circumstances. Definitely. But how do we connect with that? That's the biggest question of all. How do we taste that? How do we become that? Become that. Not just want it to give me something all the time, but how can I connect with that and also share that consciousness, that way of being with others? This is a very intricate question and a very, very, very important. Very important. You know, when we're little children, we want everything from our parents. Give me, give me, give me this, give me that, give me this. Make the world suit me. Make it safe for me. Make it beautiful for me. Little children want our parents to do that. Excuse me. They want their parents to do that. They idealize the parent. When we get older, When we grow up, it becomes our responsibility to look at the world, to find the beauty, to share the love, to share the goodness, to lift up others. If we keep looking for our parents to do it, we would say, well, we haven't grown up. We haven't assumed our full maturity yet. Yet. You know, there is a saying by Kierkegaard, I believe it was, and he said that most people do not grow to be older than about 15 years old in terms of spiritually. They get older, they get jobs, they get married, but spiritually, most don't grow beyond 15 years old. They still keep wanting to be taken care of by their parents and others and whatever. So I would say, as we begin to explore this fantastic question about finding God at the kitchen table, finding God right where you are and right with whatever you're doing and ways of doing that, I think we first have to say this is just a step toward our natural maturity. Growing up. It's about growing up. Stepping up. And saying, yes. Yes. Here I am. That's such a powerful and beautiful and magnificent phrase. Here I am. It comes from the Bible, and when I believe there was a search going on, and they were saying, where are you, God? Where are you, God? I believe it was Moses saying, where are you? Where are you? Where are you? And the voice came, here I am. Here, right here. And I am. Yes, I live. I am. That's a very active, alive phrase. Here I am. So let's turn that a little bit around and say, where are you? Where are you? Where are we? Where are we? It's not just where are we living and standing at the moment, but where are we within? Are you present? Are you available? Are your hands open to others? Where are you? Are you giving of yourself? Are you alive? Are you awake? Are you here during these difficult times and any time? You know, it's very normal. Many of us want to hide. We want to run away. We want to anesthetize ourselves or give ourselves a lot of candy and treats, all kinds of treats, so that we don't have to experience the confusion and the pain of these days. Now, that's not exactly the best way to proceed. That's more like a child looking for their parents to make them feel good, make me happy. There's a much more important and better way to proceed. And that is to step up, to be present, to wake up, to find God, to find the source, to find spirit, whatever word you want to use, to find it and be it. And align with it. By say, be it, I'm saying to be the goodness and be the nourishment and be the security and support that you're looking for outside. It's quite a beautiful road to go, and it's a beautiful task. Journey, whatever word you want to use. It does not necessarily have to include all this fighting and yelling and screaming. We join parades and we protest. That's important, and it's one thing. But there's a much more important step. Well, I don't want to say more or less, but it's a very, I would say, a much more primary and vital step. Stand up. Be here. Here I am. And mean it, be it. Once you take that road, you cannot be shaken or deceived or confused. You have your steps, your road to go. You're walking straight to the kitchen table. Okay, well, thank you so much for listening. Appreciate it very much, and I very much enjoy talking with you. Thank you. See you next week. And my personal email for this is topspeaker@yahoo.com in case you want to reach me for anything. Okay, bye-bye.